is that I've been going through the book of Nehemiah. And I've been seeing what's in the book, and I've been able to see that what's happening is very consistent, that God has been consistent through time. God has been the same. And so we get to see, we're going to open up Nehemiah in a few minutes. We're going to see what is truly going on in Nehemiah. And we're going to study and we're going to pull out what principles are there. But what I'm going to do is turn towards your life and what you're living now and let you to see that the same God that was influencing Nehemiah and the circumstances around him is the same God we're still serving. And in what's been going on, without going through the whole book, you can read it. But what's happened is, to give you a little history for some of you guys who are just coming up right now this morning, I want you to know where we're at. It's like, in a sense, watching a movie. You get to a certain scene and you know where you're at in the movie, right? You know exactly what's going on. Well, the Word of God is the same thing. You need to know what's going on. Well, if you've been with me, you can hear these things. You could go and read Nehemiah. But basically where we're at is Nehemiah was in bondage. Okay, he was in bondage and he heard about what was going on in Jerusalem. And all you need to know at this point is that God had intended for the nation of Israel to be in Jerusalem, and he intended for the walls to be there, for his temple to be there. That's what he intended to be going on, be happening. Well, what Nehemiah finds out is that it's in ruins. He's a cupbearer to the king. He has no ability to leave. His heart is drawn towards prayer. He prays unto the Lord. He has a heart, and it gets to the point he just can't hold it back anymore. He just shares it with the king. The king says, "Why are you so sad?" He says, "Why should I not be sad?" And so what happens is Nehemiah then gets sent by the king to go back and build the walls. So it's awesome. He's on his way. He gets sent there. And what we've covered last Sunday was, as he was there, the people are living in the ruins and they've forgotten. They've just lost sight. He says, "It is time to put your hands to the work of God." And that's what they did. They said, "Look, let us get busy working, okay?" And so last Sunday was kind of this charge, in a sense, of what it means to put your hand to the work in which God has given us to do. Very specific, though. When we turned to ourselves, we said, "Listen, it is a work in which God is doing that I put my hand towards. It's not me playing God. It's not me generating the work. It's a work that God is doing, and I'm going to put my hand towards it." And that's what we were talking about last week. So this is kind of the beginning stages. What you're going to see today is it's progressed. I'm going to read a few parts in Scripture, Nehemiah. You're going to see that it's progressed, and you're going to see what now they are doing, the accomplishments that are happening surrounding Nehemiah. But today's title, I want to give you the title. If you're taking notes, if you're not, grab a pen and paper, start to put this down. If not, just start to pay attention. Here's the title: Having a Mind to Work. Okay, the title today is Having a Mind to Work. We're going to read exactly where it comes from in Nehemiah, but what you're going to see today is that we're going to see what happens when your mind is equipped to do the work that God has given you. Okay, let me say it again. I almost feel like I have to say it twice for emphasis, or maybe twice for people that are 39 now. What happens, what goes on when your mind is actually equipped, and I mean this word equipped, your mind is equipped to do the work that God has given you to do? There's an issue. Before we started with putting your hands to it, right? They just started. We're going to see that more than putting their hands, their mind was in their work as well. We're going to see the results of those things. So if you like, go ahead and turn with me to Nehemiah. And what, so that you can follow along with me today, we're going to basically break this into two different sections for you to be able to see the emphasis here. We're going to see what are the results, what is the results of having your mind set to the work that God has given you, and really what was the cause of it. What really caused that to happen? I think there, so if you can break the message today in those two things and you walk away with those two things understood, then hopefully I've done a good enough job, and if anything's gray, a little bit grayer, then you come to me, you can go back to the Word of God and see these things. But I want you to see what are the results of having your mind set to the work, and then what is the cause. You with me so far? Everybody with me? That's where we're going this morning, okay? Well, the results, what happens is, and so if you're in Nehemiah, just go to chapter 3. We left where they, last week, where they were starting to build But then we get into all of chapter 3, and I'm not going to read this. If there's ever a hard section of Scripture, this is it. There are so many names in here that Zadok, Berachah, man, I will just completely destroy these names. But what is amazing, if you will take time, don't skip past it when you get to the hard names. What you see in here is that when Nehemiah called them to start to build the walls up, guess what happened? Each of them started rebuilding their own section. And so it starts, then Elishaba, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and built the sheep gate. So there it is. What happens is this particular priest, he takes care of the sheep gate. Another one takes care of a certain section of wall. Another one takes care of the old gate. And all of chapter 3 is just them going through and saying, they got this section, this section, this section. So if you can just imagine in your mind, just picture a wall. I should have given you an illustration of what it really looked like. But you just picture the wall, and it was so big. Listen, Nehemiah was sent with a concern for the wall that was in ruins. But let me tell you something. Nehemiah could not do it by himself. He could have tried. But there's no way. The wall is huge. God had intended to get the walls built, and what happens is they start all unto their own. And that's the great things about it, is this is a revival in a sense, because these people have been sitting there, not doing the work, sitting in the rubbish, sitting with the consequences of just not doing the right work of God, and then just somehow got to the point of being content with that. Nehemiah gets sent by God, and so here's what happens. They start building the wall together. Jump with me. Let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 1. So it happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish stones that are burned?" Right? So this is what he's saying. He's like, what are they doing? He sees it. Listen, he's against the nation of Israel. He's against them. He's upset. He says he's angry about this. And he's like, what are they going to do? Are they really going to rebuild these walls? Are they really going to do this work? Now, Tobiah the Amorite was beside him. He said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Listen to this antagonizing. This is what's great. I say it's great, but listen to me. Anytime God is doing a work, you know what you'll find? There's someone in the world saying, you know what? Who do they think they are? That's so pathetic. It's like God lets people get so far that He lets a really clear testimony come out of something like that, right? Like, what are they going to do? Just let somebody make a testimony against God in a sense. It's the whole Goliath story, right? What are you going to do? Look, little David is probably scrawny like myself, or I don't know, maybe he was big, but said, what is this big guy going to... He can't sit here and talk about my God in this way. You just name it. You just watch. You just look around your own world. When people start saying what God is really going to do and what He can't do, right? The whole Titanic. What was the problem with the Titanic? You know why there's a lot of things, but they basically said God can't sink it. I mean, it's in writing. The paper produced it. They really should have never said that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's really a mistake. Question I have for you is, how many things in your life, in all honesty, let's just stop and say, how many things around you, the world, when things are going on, when in all honesty, you are starting to rebuild that somebody's just, or for some circumstance, looking like, what are they thinking? There's no power in you. You can't do anything. A little fox can break down your wall. It's tough. It's tough because there are so many opponents or so many things that are against Christ and so many things that just stand out against Him. But this is what they're saying. He's just basically mocking them. Nehemiah says, verse 4, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to their land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders." Now listen to me. Let's just say this. Nehemiah was close enough to the Lord that he said, listen, they cannot keep saying these things against you, the Lord. Something that comes out when God has clearly established His testimony, when God has said this to be true, when when the world or an opponent says this is false, when somebody's close enough to God says, God, you can't let this happen because this is not true. Let me just help you out with something. If you just have any wonders on this. God is the only one that will ever be found to be truthful. 100% every single time. You will find scenarios of things that seem to be true and have some truth in them and prove to be true. But God is the only thing that will be proven to be a source of truth continually. Always. 100% of the time. And when we see something that comes out against God, it's this response. Of, listen, God, listen. I do not stand with them on this. You are the one true God, and I cannot allow. Father, just I'm not going to allow these things either to be spoken, to be said. I'm going to correct these things because they're just in error. And He just prays out to them about the reproach that is on them and just says, listen, God, You take care of them because these things are such falsehood. And he knew that he had been sent by God to do this work, right? Nehemiah knew he was there to do his work. So he wasn't going to listen to them. But let's go on a little bit further. We're going to see where we get today's title from. So when he had built, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. Listen, for the people had a mind to work. It was completed up to half high, only half high. But Nehemiah says the reason it was done that way is because the people had a mind to do the work. And now that may not seem very impactful to you, but this is really impressed upon me as I've been preparing for the lesson today. And saying, what is it about the mind that is so important to the work in which God has given us to do? Because as Nehemiah came in, he knew that he was there to build those walls, right? And he knew that he needed help with those things. But as they started doing it, I guarantee you, as he sat back, he praised God. But what he's given credit to, as you're going to see, is that he's calling out that the people and their mind were prepared to do this work. And they had a mind to do it, right? And matter of fact, that's why we're going to start. So what we see is the first section we're going to break down is the result. What is one of the results here? We see the accomplishment here, right? We see the wall being built. That's just one of the results in Nehemiah's thing. But I want you to think about the issue of proven results. If you can find anything that produces results in this world, right? If you can find something that produces results, it will be sold, right? You can make money off of something that supposedly will produce the results. A lot of times they're lying. They can't really do what it says it will. But that's the issue, right? People are looking for something to produce a particular result. Always. Always. Always looking for it. What you'll find, though, is few things, if you look into the world, few things have a lasting result. Maybe it may work for a little period of time or whatever. Maybe just in the nature in itself. Maybe it's something you eat, so it ain't meant to be around forever. You consume when it's done. Few things have lasting results. I want you to know that I have a concern for you this morning. I want you to be informed on what it is that produces when your hand goes towards God's Word. I have a concern for you on this, that you make a connection that when you see, first of all, that there is a God. First of all, you got to understand there's a God. But when you see there's a God and you see that God has placed your hand to some work, I have a concern that you understand how important it is for your mind to be equipped to continue to do that work. Your mind to continue. What we're going to find out in Nehemiah, guess what we're going to find out? Is that as they were building this wall, guess what happens? The adversary is coming. The adversary is coming. And we're going to go into a section pretty soon. They're going to build the wall. They've gotten half high. You know how they're going to build the other half? One high, stacking the other hand on a sword. Now let me tell you something. That's a proven result of a people with their mind focused upon what God had given to them, right? Most of us, you know what happens with us? In all honesty, here's what happens. Things are going good. This is easy. Got enough people around me. As soon as something hard, if we got to the point of holding, having to hold a weapon and do the work, we'll just drop it all together. Because the mind is not equipped. We're going to deal with it because the mind, in all honesty, just is lost. And so, as I was preparing for this, I started thinking about, in all honesty, I had to think for myself. Because honestly, the word I give you, honest, I need to think in retrospect for myself first. I started thinking, what is it that continues to keep me? What continues to keep me producing, hopefully, the work that God has given me to produce? Why do I continue? Now, some of you may not question that. And in all honesty, I don't question it that often. Because a lot of times, in all honesty, is that my mind has been just so equipped to the point that I know that God has given it to me. So there's not really another option here. There's not an option of stop building. There's not an option not to be here. There's not an option for me to stay home on Sunday, in all honesty. Y'all give me that. In all honesty, part of my calling here to the church just makes me consistent. I don't call you guys on Saturday and say, hey guys, guess what? I'm not going to be there on Sunday. Right? I'm going to start a new ministry. It's the fill-in on Sunday ministry. I'm going to call you on Saturday and tell you, I need your fill-in, right? We're not going to have that ministry here. Because God has established, He has equipped my mind. And so here's my concern for you. What's necessary? What's necessary? What's going to equip you to do the work that God has called you to do? What does the mind have to do with it? We're going to stay away from some things. Listen, trust me. I'm not going to go into that it's all a mental game here. We're going to look to the Scripture to give us some information here. But what I want you to see first, okay? First of all, understand this. Let's just first make sure you understand Nehemiah, right? If I can't get you to understand Nehemiah, I don't need to go to the New Testament and try to draw any principle out of this. Understand that Nehemiah gave credit to the people, and he said that they clearly had the mind to work. It was evident to him. What are the results that you see that God is doing in your life? If someone is to step back and say, you know what, they just had the mind to work. What is that in your life? What is it where somebody would step back and say, they put their hand to this? They're continuing to do that. Ted, I'm going to put you on the spot. There's Ted. I look for him. So look, you said that God is something. I know we've been talking about this podcast thing. Well, in all honesty, it's a great idea, but if you don't, by the end of the year, don't do a few podcasts, well, and you wait, and then you say the next year, eventually you just say, well, look, his mind just wasn't to do the work, right? Put his hand to it. It's good, a great idea. We talk about great ideas all the time. That's one reason I like talking to Ted. He can generate some great thoughts with me. At some point, there's something more than that. So in the results in your life, you have to ask yourself, what is God doing? Because here's the thing that I want you to know. God is always working. God is always working. And Ted, you know what? You were right as well as your clarification this morning. Is that we're going to see this morning, these results in your life of putting your hand to the work of God, it's everywhere. Because God has not separated our life to just be in some areas. It's everywhere. The results of God working. And let me just say this at this point. The training ground for the results of the work is every single circumstance in your life. Everything. It's how you meditate upon the Word of God. It's how you treat your spouse. It's how you treat your children. It's how, whatever it is, it's how you work. Then it's how you sit in the tree stand. What goes through your mind? It's every single thing. God is doing a work in every single, or is trying to do a work in every single one of them. Now you may be missing the mark. But listen, God is at all point, in all places, working. And something else I want you to know. The results. Since we know that God is obviously always doing the work, will continue the work, I want you to know something. Is God is intending to use you. You know, we have a big, huge God. Glory be unto Him. He's huge. Now, I challenge you to find a time in which, since He created the world, that He's not using His creation and using people. Now, I'm not elevating you to God, right? I'm not telling this. I'm not telling you it's all about you. I'm just telling you that we're talking about God doing a work. He is using His creation, and He is using His people. Could He rebuild this wall for Nehemiah? Now, in the Old Testament, we see some great miracles, right? Could Nehemiah have showed up, walked around the wall at night, and it all been in disarray, and then he'd gone, and he could have prayed, and then all of a sudden he woke up the next morning, the walls be built? God could have done that, right? We get that. God did some great miracles like that at times. But the point I'm trying to get you to see this morning is that God has established a testimony that He is going to use you. I mean that, you. Each one of you. It's not, and every single one of you are the audience, and my point this morning is I want to get to the point where you can train your mind, because He's intending to use every single one of you. And you need to understand what the work of God is. And sometimes it's not, it does look like Ted was mentioning. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to come up and do a podcast. It doesn't mean that you're going to stand before here and preach a sermon. But I promise you that God is doing, can do a great work in the things that He has put your hand to that's in your life. But you're going to have to wake up and understand He's planning on using you. There's a responsibility that comes with this, to produce things that are good. So if you understand these things that are results, I want you to do, you can either turn there and listen with me. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read to you something in the New Testament here real quickly that's related to the results. Okay? Again, everybody wants results, right? Everybody wants results. This morning I want to get your mind eventually so you can see how it is of what your mind needs to be trained so you get results. But listen to this. There's a lot in this section, but it just basically says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me read that to you again. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now let me ask you something. What are you doing? You know what? You know how much vain work is going on? You know how many people that are wasting so much that God is intending for good? You know how many in the mornings, how many bowls of cereal you're wasting? You know how many car rides that you're wasting? You know how many conversations with other people that are being wasted? Because to you, they're just normal stuff. Instead of it being about the Lord. He says, listen to me. When He's put your hand to the work, He says, listen, now here's what you need to do. You need to be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast and immovable. Steadfast, yes, Tammy. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. You're welcome. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. So guys, listen to me. There's a spot when you put your hand to the work. Well, first of all, when you start to realize that what the work is around you, there's a spot that God understands it's going to come to the immovable part. You know what's going to try to move you off of it? Somebody's bad comments. You know what's going to try to move you off from the work of the Lord? Some sleepless nights, some bad rest. You know what's going to try to move you away from it? Busyness. You just may be too busy, you think. You don't have time for what God's given you to do, right? There are so many things that at some point as a Christian you say, I am immovable in this spot. Because I know that God has sent me for this reason, right here, right now. And as soon as you realize you're missing it, there needs to be an adjustment. I'm going to share something with you guys. I don't mean to scare you guys. There's some things that's just from my heart. I just want you guys to know something. I'm not always perfect. Okay? Man, it may not scare you. My dad's up here just smiling. He's like, love me. Can I talk? He's saying, hey, give me the mic. My parents saw me do all kinds of things, right? You know who knows it now? She knows it now. I'm not perfect. And there's so many things that move me away from what God has really intended to put in my life. So many circumstances. God's called me to be immovable. There's no spot in my life where God has not intended to put a good work in there. A good work. What would it be like? Let me ask you something. What would it be like for every single day of your life to be so sure that you're doing the work of God that everything, no matter hard or easy, no matter whether you're building the wall with the sword in your hand or you're building it with freedom, that every single day you knew that God was producing a good work in your life. Man, I don't know about you, but I would love that. I don't have that. Another just honest thing. I don't have that. Because I'm not immovable. because at times I'm not steadfast. Listen, they had a... What moves me is when... Think about this. What moves you? The circumstance happens, and then where does it go? The mind. Does it not? The mind starts to be trained and equipped by some lie. The mental battle is lost, right? How many of you kept the mental battle about right here and then it's poof? Can't keep it any longer. I've lost the mental battle, haven't you? And who knows what's coming out, right? Don't raise your hand if you don't need to. But I know what that is like. The issue is the mind. And the issue is not being trained or equipped for the work in which God has given you to do. And very, very few people will go to the Word of God ahead of time and start to learn what it is in each area of their life. Ted, why do you have... How many kids you got? Count them, I know. Nine here right now, right? Nine kids. Why does he have nine kids? Some of you are thinking, wow, God's given him nine kids. You know, at every single moment of every single chaotic nine kids moment, God has given you nine kids. What is the truth of the matter? God has given you nine kids, right? What makes us movable? Nine kids can make us movable, right? Two kids can make me movable, right? Myself can make me movable. But the truth of the matter is God's put my hand to some good work, right? Hope you're starting to just catch on. Regardless, I just hope you understand that the results in your life are related. The results. Let's just talk about this. I'm going to close out the results section where we go to the cause. The results in your life is really what we're looking for. We want to see the results. And the results are very much connected to what the mind processes as far as what is true and what is a lie. What is going to come out is based on what is put in on this scenario. And so I want to talk to you about the cause. Because if the cause is not correct, the results are going to be wrong. I can get you encouraged all day long about having the right results or having the results like them. I would love to be a church like Nehemiah found where they're building. Then they say, don't worry about it, Nathan. I understand it's difficult. We're here. We're going to keep going. I would love to see that. The results in your life, you first of all got to get the cause correct. Okay, so this part of the message is really the most important part of the lesson. What causes this to happen? What causes your mind to work in accordance with the Word of God? What causes that to go on? This is it. This is the point. And I'm going to start with this. Now, let's just get something straight right now. Only. Get this understood. Only God can do the work of God. Only God can do the work of God. The reason that's got to be up front is because here's what you're going to hear sometimes. I tell you guys how to do good things, right? It's all about... I just sell these things to you like the world wants to sell you things. I can sell church to you. Actually, I should study that a little bit more. Just sell people church, man. Just sell... Look, everything is great. Everything's hunky-dory. You've been there. Got a couple visitors here this morning. Everything is great. We love everything. You know, it's just all these kind of things. Just putting out here something that ain't really true. When we become solid on understanding that it is God's work that's being done first, and we look for that, and we start to line ourselves up with that, then you'll be amazed at what happens. But in our day and age, let me go to the ones that are younger than 39. Still younger than 39, by the way. Not before. In our generation, and probably younger, it's all about me. Absolutely all about me. It is. And sometimes what's happened is the church has somehow picked that up. So look, you just come on in, and we'll make it about you too. Whatever makes you feel good, whatever makes you want to get some energy and get going to help us out, do this or that, y'all come on in, we'll create ministries for you. We'll tailor anything for you. You just come on in here and we'll be glad for you to be with us, right? I don't have that mindset. I have a simple approach to ministry. I can't do everything. I've already realized I can't do anything. But I've resolved in one thing. I can't do what God is not doing. I cannot do what God is not doing. But what God is doing, I can get behind. Nehemiah, listen to me. If you don't learn anything from Nehemiah, learn this. God was already doing the work. Set your mind right here already. When you read Nehemiah, they were in bondage for 70 years. God said you're going to be in bondage for 70 years. They're not getting out before 70 years, even though they wanted to. At 70 years, though, He made a way and sends them back. Three waves. Nehemiah is the last wave coming through back to Jerusalem. The last wave coming through. Nehemiah is leading them. Nehemiah is not getting to Jerusalem without God doing the work first. God intended Nehemiah to be there. If not, you know where Nehemiah would be? Back being a cupbearer. Some people have come to the church and they've said, well, I want to do this, and not realizing that, well, God doesn't want you doing that. God's not in that. It's what God is already doing. I'm going to challenge you real quick, okay? We got a children's ministry. I need another helper. I've said it many times. Who wants to help? Don't raise your hand now if you didn't raise it earlier. Nobody knows who wants to help. Children's ministry is difficult. Don't want to be a part of that. Let's get real for a second. What is God doing in our church? What is the testimony of God doing a work here? If it's not through the children's ministry, then you need to talk to me, because I know that God's doing a work in our children's ministry. I know He is. I got some people that thankfully are lined up or willing to work. But I got a principle of having two teachers in every class. I believe it's a good principle. I'm going to continue with that principle. Some will continue to ask, but you know what? Some people say, you know what? I'm not meant for it. I'm not doing it just as a plug. Don't do it for the wrong reason. Here's what I don't want you to hear from me. See, things like this, that we just mess things up. Well, maybe I should do children's ministry. No. First of all, settle whether God is doing the children's ministry or not. If you don't think God is doing the children's ministry, you settle that in your mind. If God's not working in our children's ministry, you need to come to me. Maybe I'm missing something. But if He is, then I want to get behind it. And I want to support it. And then I want to know whether God is really calling you to do that. And I want you then, see, other times we put such a pressure on people, and you won't find me doing this. In all honesty, this would be miraculous. Mike, I'm not thinking you're led to the children's ministry. If you were, me and you would be talking quite a bit more before I ever said yes. There's other views I think so. Mike's just not quite ready for that, I don't think. I think God's got Mike working in some other areas, just a spirit of discernment in that, okay? I love you, Mike. That'd be really awesome. Maybe God can, and it'd be glorious if God changed that. That'd be something else. And sometimes God does that, but I can't do that. And now, if Mike came to me, then maybe that would be something. But again, I can't play God on these things. All I have to do is, I have to be determined, what is God doing? And then I need to know whether I'm called to be working in that particular spot. Guess what? I'm not teaching children's ministry right now. And I have in the past. God's calling me to a different work right now. All I'm saying is that don't get into the fact of, what can I do? Well, you can't do anything. We'll read later. Well, let's just turn there real quick. You can't do anything. Listen to this if you need some help with this real quickly. Let this be a life verse for you a little bit. I know this kind of negative thought, you know, we're always like, let's be so positive. This one, some people think this is negative. John 15:5 says this. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am by him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do, what's the word? Nothing. Here we go. We're all about training our minds today, right? So we're going to train our minds to do the work that God has. So here's a part of the training lesson for you. This is where I'm counterculture and a little bit. Church makes you feel all good. I'm telling you, if you come to Shepherd Church, you plug in here, I'm going to tell you something. You can do nothing unless God is doing it, and He's doing it for you. Let's take a rest in that. You can do nothing. If you're not connected to the vine, you're just doing energy. And it may look productive, but if we're not connected to the vine, you're not doing anything. In all honesty, I don't want you doing anything. Yeah, I said that. I don't want you doing anything. If you're not connected to the vine, then you beware. You get connected to the vine, then you come. Don't try to do something, because you're going to be found trying to do a work against the Lord. Right? We don't need that. We need to understand that God does His work. If we will come unto the Lord, So this is the cause of it. This is the cause. The cause is God. And I don't understand what audacity we have to think that we are the cause of doing the work of God. What audacity would it be for us to go to God and say, look what I'm doing. I can't embolden you to do that. I'm called to embolden you, though, to do some work. Isn't it amazing how Nehemiah could come in and he had to build the wall? But somehow he did it without doing it in the wrong way. Self-righteousness. They were doing it the right ways. That's what happened. So I'll say this. And you can know this is all contained all through Scripture. So the cause of the mind being equipped to do the work is that you understand that you're doing it by faith and trust in the Lord to do the work. It's a continual prayer for Him to do it. It's continual faith that He will do what you cannot do. That He will produce. He's constantly working on that. Constantly increasing our faith in Him. So, let me ask you something. Let's take this issue of faith and this idea of having your mind equipped, okay, to the cause of doing something. Have you ever tried to do something you haven't done before? And you don't know if you're really going to be able to do it or not? Let's say it's skiing. Let's say some of you guys were at the skating rink not too long ago, maybe skating, I don't know, whatever it is, or try to do something you've just never done before, and you think, I don't know if I can do it, right? What happens after you do it and you accomplish it? You're like, wow, I was able to do that. Look what I was able to do, right? And then next time you go to do it, are you able to do it more with ease? Well, sure you are, right? It's a basic principle. The spiritual principle, though, is that a life lived in faith is a constant life like this. Out of the scripture, we do this. A constant of I'm trusting in the Lord to put my feet forward. I have faith that what I cannot do, God will equip me to do. But I know where I'm stepping in. It's not blind faith. It's a faith that is directed by God. And so when He's called you to do a work, some of you need to understand that when you think, how? I just can't do it, God. I just can't do it. I'm overwhelmed. I can't take care of the kids, the house, the work, the friendships, everything. I can't do it anymore. I'm just burdened by this. Well, somewhere, you know what we did? We're either putting too much of ourselves or we're losing the connection to the vine. And we're not living by faith anymore. See, the mind gets trained. The mind gets trained by the Word of God. And so there has to be the input. Now here's the part I'm not telling you. There's so many spots where it would be so particular to you, to what God has placed upon you, that the Scripture that emboldens you. But in every area of a life, it can be, like I said, if it's your family, whatever it is, if it's the podcast, whatever it is, there is the Scripture that is teaching you and instructing you these things. So the point, whenever it starts to happen, you start to say, listen, because I know this, I'm going to submit to the Lord and I'm going to do this work. Because I know this, I'm going to submit to Him. I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to look for the direction to come from Him. You see what this looks like? So let's do this. Let's say what I'm not saying yet. Let's say what's left out of this message. And I'm going to close with one last verse. Let me tell you what's left out of this. All the specific instructions to you as an individual before the Lord. An individual before the Lord. All the instruction is left out. I'm just nudging you in the right direction for you to understand that God, you got to start with Him first. If you start with Him, if you need help, you need to put your hand and figure out, first of all, what is the work in which God has called you to do? And then once you do it, you need the assistance of the Word of God to embolden you so that you can stand steadfast and that you can do it, that you can set your minds to continue to do the work. What that Scripture is, what that relationship is between you and the Lord, it's as diverse as you are. I don't know what it is right now. God does. He's intending to teach it to you. You have a responsibility. You have the responsibility. I'm here for you. And I'll be glad to sit down and go through the Scriptures and be glad to sit down and find exactly what that work is. That's not what my message is about. I can't do that one-on-one with all of you right now, right? I'll do is encourage you in the right direction. So in closing, what I wanted to do with you is to, instead of trying to answer all those questions, that I could go on and on, What does it take? What does it take to equip you? I want to give you a section of Scripture that deals with the work of God, what it is. Just this is true in so many circumstances. In a sense, in the middle of this passage here, the gospel of Jesus Christ is contained in here. So I want to give you this because it talks about the work of God. And it talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can't think of a better spot to close this morning. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 29. So far we've seen this. So far in the message we've seen this. What is the result of having a mind trained, equipped to do the work of God? The results are great. God is glorified. The work is done. The cause of it is, the cause of what makes the mind being equipped, the cause of everything is that it is God. John chapter 6 and verse 29 says, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent," referring to Jesus Christ. "Therefore they said to Him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our father ate the manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven." Listen to this. See, they said Moses gave them the bread. Yeah, let's clarify this. No. "But my Father gives you true bread from heaven. From the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now we're on to something. "My Father is doing a work." Then they said to Him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger. He who believes in Me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen Me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and the one who comes to Me I will by no means cast out. For what I have come down from heaven, not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me." Look at this. Jesus Christ Himself came, and you know what the example He said? "I'm not here to do My work. I'm here to do My Father's work." He already knew this principle. The consistency of God doing the work has been set from the very beginning. "This is the will of My Father who sent Me, that all He has given Me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in that last day." He says, "Come to Him." What does He say about if you come to Him? You never thirst and never be hungry. Right? Let me ask you something. What work are you doing that your palate is dry? Your stomach is hungry. You keep trying it your own way. Keep trying it that way. You're going to find you're never satisfied. Keep trying it your own way. You know what God's going to do? Continue to show you that you're hungry and thirsty. And He's continuing to say, "Come to Me. Come to Me." If somebody's not going to come to the Lord, they'll never be working for Him. They're never going to receive what He's come here to do. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ is that He calls. So He's calling you. And the gospel is so much at the beginning of the gospel to bring someone and say, "Listen, you need to follow the Lord, because if not, continue to be hungry and thirsty." That's the message. Continue to do it your own way. Fine. Keep it up. You'll be hungry and thirsty until you turn to the Lord. When you turn to the Lord, the promise of never being hungry and thirsty, you think it stops there? Mm-mm. Do the work of the Lord. Do the work of the Lord. You're going to do it. It's going to be difficult. But you'll never be hungry and thirsty. You're doing it for the right reasons. I hope there's a connection in your mind to this that you see, "Listen, I'm going to continue to put my hand to the work, and I'm going to train my mind that my Lord and my God wants me to be satisfied in the work He's given me to do." If you're not satisfied, you're outside the will of God. You can mix it up, use any other Christian terms you want to use. If you're not satisfied in the work that you're doing, then you're not in the will of God. You can argue with me all day long, but I believe we'll go to God in prayer. You'll find out the true answer. If you go to the Word of God, you'll find the answer. He's not called us to be frustrated people. He's not called us to be hungry and thirsty. Got to step. So last time I said this, you want to put your hand to the work? What does it look like? Look around you. What is God doing? You want to get involved with the Shepherd's Church? I'll give you a couple spots. You get behind that lady right there, LT2. You know what the ladies are doing? You need to get behind her. You need to support her because I know God is doing a work in that area. You want to get behind our children's ministry? You need to be involved. You need praying for us. If you're not going to serve them, that's fine, but you need to understand that God is doing a work in that. You need to try to encourage that because it takes a lot of work in that area. You want to get behind our outreach ministry? You need to be involved in things we're doing. And listen, God's going over to the park the other night. Listen, we're not done there. We want to have an outreach ministry at the church. We need to every single time to be spot on. Love the community we're in. Just find what God is doing. All right? Put your hand to it. Listen, guys, I promise you this. I'll keep it simple enough for you. I won't let us do this. I won't let us try to do everything. God hasn't called us to do everything. Right? I get it. I've always kept it pretty simple. Some of you, I've lulled you to sleep. It's too simple. You need to put your hand to the work. Let's pray. Father, I love you. And I thank you that, Father, the testimony I leave with is that you've done a work. Father, if I look into my own life and I look into the life of the people that are here that I know, you've done a work. Father, they're so connected to you as a vine. I am so much in joy for knowing that I serve along people that love you. The testimony here is not that. It's not as if that we have people that are drifting from that. At times people do. I've got that testimony as well. But Father, I know that you're doing a work. Father, I'm content being here. I'm content with what you've given me. And I'm content with the service. Now, I wish I would serve better. I wish I would serve. I wish that my mind would be more steadfast in areas. But Father, I'm content in the work you're doing. But Father, I'm going to ask that you do more. And I'm going to pray that you put everyone's hand so they won't stand before you questioning what their hand has been put towards. And I pray you equip their mind to serve you. And what capacities that mean, give them the desires of their heart when they're lined up with you. Make all this line up. And Father, may you receive the glory for that. May it all continue to go straight up to you. Father, for the ones that are here this morning, that are hungry and thirsty, that have continued to live their life in their own ways, they made their own decisions, and now they're dealing with consequences. Father, for whatever that looks like, I pray that what they hear this morning is that you are the true God and you have already done a work, and that, Father, you want to save souls and that you want their hand to be satisfied in the things in which they're putting their hand to do. But, Father, they'll never find it outside of you. Turn their hearts to you. Father, let them confess you today before they leave. Let them come talk to me before they leave. I pray for that in your name. Amen. Amen. So this is what we're going to do, guys. We're going to stand. We're going to have a